We are not safe here. Season 1, The Outcast. Episode 2, Red Red Moss. If you're new to this podcast, welcome. Please start at episode 1. There's someone upstairs. Tell me everything from start to finish, Katrina said again. Betty groaned. I already told you. You know we had the exact same dream. Was I talking in my sleep? Katrina asked. Are you fucking with me? Who narrates their own dreams? Betty asked her. I'm not fucking with you. I'm just as freaked out as you are. Katrina was pacing the room. She wore navy pajamas with a white collar. Betty was surprised at the choice. She sat cross-legged on the bed. How did you get inside my head? Katrina yelled at her. What makes you think you weren't in my head? Betty yelled back. Then she stopped herself and took a deep breath. Calm down, Katrina. We can figure this out. How the fuck? Katrina sat on the bed and put her head in her hands. Well, we shared a lot of the same experiences yesterday, right? Yeah, we're in the same prison of a school. Katrina kept her head in her hands. So maybe the cabin represents that prison, and we ran toward it even though we both don't want to be here. Betty stood and paced as she thought out loud. She continued, and we both have something new in our lives. I'm new here, and you have this stranger as your roommate. So maybe the sounds of someone chasing us in the woods was like a representation of that anxiety or something. Are you like a head doctor or something? Katrina asked. I've had a lot of therapy, Betty said. Oh, great, Katrina said. Betty sat on the bed beside Katrina. She retreated as if scared of Betty. Look, there have to be cases of people sharing dreams. It's probably not so weird for girls who live together. We can go to the library tomorrow. And what, describe our dream to the librarian? Katrina almost shouted. No, look at dream research. Katrina looked at Betty and took a deep breath. Has this ever happened to you before? Betty shook her head. I mean, not that I know of. Okay, go to the library, but you're not going to find anything. Betty got up and went back to her bed. A wave of exhaustion hit her hard. Her bones felt heavy. She lay down and fell asleep right away. Katrina wasn't far after. They kept the light on. Betty and Katrina could feel that something was not right in the cafeteria the next morning. There was a murmuring around the tables, and everyone looked tired. Katrina and Betty looked around and then at each other nervously. They walked to the table Betty had met Kim, Delia, and Tracy for lunch the day before. Only Delia and Kim had food. They were all huddled together, whispering. What's going on? Katrina asked. Kim motioned sharply for them to sit down. Okay, this is fucking crazy, but we all had the same nightmare last night, Kim said. Betty held her breath. Okay, I'm out of here, Katrina said as she stood and walked quickly towards the door. A bald teacher in a gray suit Betty hadn't met yet stepped in front of her as she tried to leave. Where do you think you're going? Betty could hear him ask. She stomped her foot, then turned around and sat back down with the group, begrudgingly. Oh shit, you had it too, Delia said. Do we all have the same brain tumor? Tracy asked. Hold on, describe your dream, Betty said. No, you first, Kim challenged. Betty looked at Katrina, who nodded at her, then looked toward the ceiling. We realized we had the same nightmare in the middle of the night. It woke us up at the same time, Betty said. We were both running through the woods at night, and then we went into a cabin. There was someone moaning upstairs, and we were going toward it like we had no choice. Then a loud sound happened, like a tree hit the cabin or something. I thought it was the person upstairs falling, Delia interrupted. No, it was way too loud for that, Tracy said. Okay, it's the same dream, Kim said. They sat around the table looking at each other. What was strange was how real it seemed. I was sure I had been sleepwalking, even though I've never sleepwalked in my life, Betty said. Katrina had started bouncing her leg nervously. It shook the whole table. What does it mean? Delia asked. I don't know, but I know people have shared dreams before. People who are close, usually. So it's not totally crazy, Betty said. Just then, someone dropped a folded note on their table. It seemed to come from nowhere. Delia grabbed it and they all looked around, trying to find where it came from. Everyone huddled together at their tables or stood on the other side of the room in the breakfast line with no sign of the messenger. They all turned back to the note. Delia practically ripped it open. Write your name if you've had the nightmare about the cabin, is what it read. About 30 names were written underneath. Holy shit, Kim said. Should we add our names? Delia asked. What's the point? Tracy added. Well, I'm adding them. Delia took a pen and started writing her name. She passed it to Kim to do the same, but Katrina ripped it out of her hands. She wrote "fuck this" in giant letters across the entire list. She stood, crumpled the paper in her hands, and threw it theatrically into the middle of the room. I'm going to get some breakfast, she said. Betty sat with her chin in her hands. How could a whole school have the same nightmare? Had there been collective dreams before? Could pheromones affect consciousness? Her thoughts were interrupted by Valerie and a group of about six girls behind her. Valerie wore a red and white, wide-striped sweater. She stood over Betty's table ominously. The first day you get here, we all have the same nightmare. Is that a coincidence? Valerie said, glaring at Betty. Betty could feel herself turning red, but she had to defend herself. It sounds specious at best, she said, but she didn't meet Valerie's eyes. Are you a witch or something? Did you cast a spell on us? Valerie continued, stepping forward. Fuck off, Valerie, Kim said. Back away from our table, bitch, Tracy said. Why are you defending her? Valerie asked. You've known her for like 2 seconds, and now she's fucking with our heads. Kim stood up. Are you deaf? She asked. Valerie put her face right up against Kim's. She has to go, she said. The teacher in the gray suit and another teacher, a woman in a dark orange dress suit, walked over quickly. Break it up, the gray suit teacher said. Everyone back to their seats, orange suit teacher said. You have 3 seconds before every one of you has a demerit. Except for Valerie and Kim, the gray suit teacher said. You've already earned your demerits. What? They protested in unison. Keep it up and you'll be in Mr. Wilbertson's office. Valerie and her group walked back to their table. Valerie turned to glare at Betty one last time. Betty looked down. Kim and Tracy sat. I'm sorry, Kim, Betty said. I didn't mean to get you in trouble. Kim smiled, then looked away. It's not you, she said. Valerie is the worst. Still, I'm sorry, Betty said. This is my second demerit, Kim said. She played with the black bracelets on her wrist. What happens when you get a demerit, Betty asked. You have to do community service after class, but when you get 3, you get sent to Mr. Wilbertson's office. Kim shuddered. Just then, Katrina came back to their table with a plate full of scrambled eggs. She sat down and pushed them around her plate with a fork. You missed a showdown with Valerie, Delia said. Kim was about to punch her, Tracy said. I wish, Kim said. She really has it in for you, Katrina said to Betty. But why? I don't know, maybe it's your face, Katrina said. Betty narrowed her eyes. Hey, remember when the entire school had the same nightmare, Delia said, or did we all forget? Not into your jokes right now, Delia, Kim said. I'm going to the library during my free period. I remember reading about dream research in one of my psychology classes. We can find the explanation. I know whose voice it was, Katrina said. She was looking down at her plate. What voice? Tracy asked. The voice in the dream. The moaning. It was Zelda. Betty saw a tear drop into Katrina's eggs. Everyone looked at each other. You think the dream could be showing us what happened to Zelda? Betty asked. I don't know. All I know is that it was her voice, Katrina yelled. But why now? Kim asked. And why all of us? Tracy followed. They stared at each other. When breakfast was over, everyone filed out of the lunchroom, quiet and tense. Betty wandered into the library about 10 minutes after her free period had started. She was lost in the hallways. She wondered if she'd ever get used to this place. The classroom seemed to be add-on after add-on to the original building, like an Escher painting. But not the library. When Betty finally got there, she gasped. There were about 10 wood-paneled archways down the center hallway. Betty couldn't even see the back of the room. The books lined 2 stories. The second floor was open to the first, like a long balcony. She stood in the middle of the room, staring at the ceiling until a librarian came over to help her. Can I help you find something, dear? The librarian was too young to say dear. She seemed not much older than Betty, and she wore a deep green sweater and a black choker. She looked South Asian, maybe Sri Lankan. I'm looking for some books on dreams, Betty stuttered. Like dream interpretations or sleep studies or more dream research. I'm trying to find studies on shared dreams. Ah, okay, let me take you to the psychology research. You can use a computer there to look up topics. Okay, thank you. They started walking down the middle of the library, between long tables with either no one or one lone student. Betty was walking behind the librarian and felt awkward about it. She caught up with her. I'm Betty. I'm new here. Hi, Betty. I'm Miss De Silva. You seem younger than the other teachers. Betty blushed. Ms. De Silva smiled. I'm a graduate student. The library is one of the best in the area, and nobody uses it. Well, I'll definitely be here every free period. I've never seen anything like it. They had come to a table with three large computers. Ms. De Silva turned one on. You can type anything you're looking for here, like dreams or shared dreams, and it will give you the code. All the research papers are on those shelves. She pointed behind her, and they're filed under the code. Do you have any questions? Betty smiled. No. And thank you. Ms. De Silva left her alone. Betty had 25 more minutes to find something. She found two studies that morning, one called Dream Sharing in Adolescence, the other Interpreting Nightmares. Here's what she learned. There have been over 10,000 recorded cases of shared dreams in the U.S. since the 1820s. The international cases are less documented, but there is one case of a whole town in Ethiopia having a shared dream during Mussolini's invasion in the 1930s. The residents of the town all dreamed of a cloud with an angry face. The details of anything the cloud said or did are missing. Everyone thought the shared dream was due to the stress of invasion and the closeness of the people in the town. Dream sharing is more common in women, and especially adolescent and teenage girls. Most shared dreams are nightmares. Girls who share dreams are more often sisters, best friends, or groups of people who are very close or live together. Nightmares are interpretations of anxieties that aren't acknowledged or even known. Nightmares are more common under times of stress. Symbolism in dreams is never universal because people have their own associations and experiences. Running in nightmares often represents guilt, fear of something new, or downward pressure. The woods often represent a big change in life stage or status, or general danger. Betty couldn't find Katrina at lunchtime. None of the girls had seen her since breakfast. Betty had an idea where Katrina was and knew she'd have to fake sick to get there. It was only her second day, but she didn't want to wait. She walked towards a teacher in the gray suit who she had learned since breakfast was Mr. Manzini. He was her economics teacher. And on cue, he stopped her before she could get through the exit. "Where do you think you're going?" he said. Betty coughed. "I'm not feeling well. Could I please see the nurse?" Betty asked. "I don't want to get all the students and teachers sick." Betty had learned what to say to get what she needed from her time at three different boarding schools. "Yes, yes, get out of here," Mr. Manzini said, stepping back. Betty wandered the halls looking for the nurse's office and went in at least two circles before she did. The nurse, an older white woman who was long and taut-looking, sat in a chair reading a magazine. The room was small and filled with sterilized objects.
"Hi," Betty said quietly. The nurse looked up sharply. Betty coughed for effect. "I'm not feeling well," she said. She had never gotten good at lying. Her heart pounded in her chest. The nurse gestured for her to come in. "You new here? I don't know you," the nurse said as she took out a thermometer from a plastic sleeve. Betty nodded as she took it under her tongue. "I'm Nurse Francine." She stared at Betty. Betty felt like a child. Nurse Francine took it from her mouth and shook it as Betty said, "I'm Betty." "Hmm?" Nurse Francine said, as though she had already forgotten their conversation. Betty didn't know whether to repeat herself or not, so she sat in awkward silence. "You don't have a fever," she said without looking at Betty. She took a file folder down and started filling out some paperwork. She spoke to Betty without looking at it. "Surprise, we're getting new students nowadays." Again, Betty didn't know what to say, so she half whispered, "Oh." She wondered when small talk wouldn't feel excruciating. Nurse Francine snapped the folder shut and looked at Betty. "Yeah, we've lost so many since last year. Good to see new blood." She made what Betty thought was an attempted smile, but it looked like a grimace. "Now let me see your throat." She took a stick and pressed down Betty's tongue. She shone a light down her throat. "That looks fine too. What did you say was the matter?"
"My throat feels scratchy," Betty said, holding her neck for effect. "And I feel a little nauseous."
"Nauseated," Nurse Francine interrupted.
"What?"
"You feel nauseated. Nauseous describes the thing that makes you feel nauseated. Nobody seems to know that."
"Oh, sorry. I feel nauseated."
Betty swung her legs like a child. The patient's chair was so high. Nurse Francine took a step back. "Well, I don't see anything wrong with you. Take a rest this afternoon. I'll write you a note for your classes. And come see me first thing tomorrow morning, even if you feel fine." Betty jumped down and looked up to Nurse Francine. She really was tall. As she left the office, she wondered why there wasn't a line of students at the door. It was the easiest thing in the world to get a note out of her. Why wouldn't everyone do it?
When she got to her room, Katrina was there, like she knew she'd be. She was as she first met her, lounging on the bed with a magazine. She rolled her eyes when she saw Betty. "What do you want?" she said. "I've been looking for you," Betty said. "I went to the library this morning." "Congratulations," Katrina said, and went back to her magazine. "Don't you want to know what I found?" Betty asked. When Katrina didn't answer, she snatched her magazine away and sat on the bed. "Hey!" Katrina shouted, sitting up. She lunged for the magazine, but Betty slid it under her butt. Katrina pushed her to the floor and took it back leisurely. "Great tactic," she said. "Maybe it would work with a 2-year-old. Betty sat on the floor, rubbing her elbow. "Fine," Betty said, standing. "I'll find somebody who cares." She walked to the door, and just as she was about to close it behind her, she heard Katrina say, "Wait!" Betty came back inside and sat on Katrina's bed. She knew better than to gloat. "Okay, I think the fact that the entire school shared a dream is not completely crazy. There are tons of accounts of shared dreams, and we are in the perfect environment for it. We all live together. We're all in the same monotony of a school day, and we're a bunch of teenage girls. So I should be super chill about this whole thing," Katrina said. She sat cross-legged, facing Betty. Her giant poster of Liz Phair at the head of her bed framed her curly hair perfectly. "I have to do more research, but I think our shared dream is trying to tell us something. Something about Zelda. You said she disappeared a year ago, right?" Katrina looked down. "Yeah," she said. "I mean, it wasn't exactly a year ago. I think last March they were in the middle of the search. I think the reason we're all having this dream is that we have to solve what's going on here as a group. We couldn't do it by ourselves, but together we can." "Oh, Betty, that's beautiful," Katrina said sarcastically. She lay back on the bed. "Can we just forget this?" she said towards the ceiling. "The nightmare is probably a once-off, but it's trying to tell us something. The cabin in the woods represents something, or it's a real place that's a real clue. How can you know that this dream is a cry for help from your friend and do nothing?" Katrina sat up sharply. "Stop talking about her," she yelled. "It's bad enough you look like her." Betty gasped. "I look like her? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't anyone tell me?" Katrina stared at her, tears in her eyes. "Oh my God," Betty gasped again. "That's why now. That's why we all had the dream. It's because I reminded everyone of her. It was my first night, the night we had the dream." Katrina wiped her nose. "You don't look exactly like her. She was way prettier." Katrina stood up and walked over to the window. Their room looked out on a small spire with an arched window. The window was always dark, and it occurred to Betty she had never asked Katrina which part of the building that was. "You know," Katrina said, "she was in Mr. J's class last year. They had the same bullshit journal assignment, but she was really into it. I'm a year behind her, so I didn't know Mr. J. I thought a teacher asking his students to share their journals with him as some literary assignment was gross. I guess because I hadn't been charmed by him like she had." "Do you think Mr. J had something to do with..." Betty asked, but she trailed off. She couldn't find the connection. She was really into the assignments in Mr. J. Until she wasn't. Katrina finally turned around. Betty was still on her bed. "What happened?" Betty asked. "I don't know. One day we were in the field, ditching phys ed, and she left her diary behind some trees. She said she wanted to leave them in the woods, but she was too scared to go very far into them." "Did you ask her why?" Katrina shrugged. "She wouldn't really say, and it wasn't my business." "Maybe it was," Betty said. Katrina didn't say anything, so Betty continued. "Maybe Mr. J has something to do with this. He asked us to share our dreams and inner thoughts with him, and then we all have the same nightmare." "That was her voice in the cabin," Katrina said. Betty could see she was still haunted. She felt the surge of an idea. "Let's search his desk," she said. Katrina sat back down on her bed next to Betty, looking bemused. "What?" she asked. "I mean, we have enough to be suspicious. Let's search his desk for some real evidence." Betty was excited. Katrina considered her, fully smiling now. "Fuck it, why not?" she said. "How are we going to get into his office? Where even is his office?" Betty asked more to herself than Katrina. "Oh, I know where his office is," Katrina said. "Zelda showed me. I met her there a couple times after she had her lit tutoring. Mr. J called them jam sessions." "Ugh, no," Betty said. "I know." "Okay, but how are we going to get in?" Betty asked. "Does he ever leave his key laying around?" "I've never seen him with the key. Maybe it's in his desk in the classroom." "We could try tomorrow," Betty said. Katrina grabbed her hand dramatically, as if they were making this plan official. You make a scene of some kind near the back of the room. Ask him to act out the blubber scene in Moby Dick. He'll talk about sperm for 45 minutes. He's insane, Katrina said. You're just going to search his desk in broad daylight? Betty asked, turning red just thinking about it. He's as obsessed with himself as everyone else in that classroom is. No one will notice me. Believe me, Katrina said. Okay. They stared at each other until it was time to go. Betty slept. There was a collective pall on everyone at dinner. They all feared what was to come that night. Would they share another nightmare? Were they doomed to nightmares until they all climbed the stairs to see who was moaning on the floor above? Betty tossed and turned that night. She could hear Katrina do the same. But somehow she fell asleep. And now she was in deep, dead to the world. Until she felt fingers wrapped all around her, like a spider wrapping its prey. The fingers jabbed into her flesh and dragged her out of bed. Someone pulled a sheet over her head. She could not see. A hand covered her mouth over the sheet. She screamed into cloth, into flesh, the sound stagnant. She kicked and flailed, but it made no difference. She couldn't tell which direction she was being dragged. She arched her back, but fingers jabbed her ribs. Her scream dissolved into the sheet. All of a sudden, she realized she was outside. She could smell the dirt before she felt the cold. The cold sliced at her skin. The sheet was pulled off her head and she was in the field, in the middle of a circle of girls. The moon shone bright on them all. She saw Valerie immediately. Behind her, the blackness of the forest. Before Betty could catch her breath, Valerie hit her. Betty fell from the shock. At first, she couldn't tell where she had been hit. Her whole face throbbed. It was numb from the cold. She dug her fingers into the grass. Her nails pierced the hard dirt. Then she felt her lip. It was bleeding. Valerie grabbed her hair and pulled her up. Witch! She screamed. Then she hit her again. This time Betty could feel it. She had hit her chin. Betty started running. She didn't even know which direction, but the circle caught her. Witch! They chanted. Hands pulled her back toward Valerie. Valerie pushed her hard. Betty fell back down. Her breath jolted out of her. She looked up at Valerie. The moon hung just to the right of her head. Betty lost her focus and they blurred into one. She held up her hand, blocking them both. Stop, Betty said weakly. Get up, witch, Valerie shouted down at her. Betty thought maybe she should play dead. She lay down and covered her face with her hands. Her tears stung her cheeks. She felt Valerie's hot breath on her ear. Call your parents to pick you up. No one wants you here. She felt fingers again, lifting her. They pushed her forward. She fell on her hands and knees against Valerie's feet. Valerie's kick landed on Betty's collarbone. She instinctively rolled into a fetal position. She heard a moaning sound. It took her a moment until she realized it was coming from her. From the ground, she could feel pounding, like drums coming up from the dirt. They got louder and louder. She heard familiar voices, Katrina and Delia, Kim and Tracy. She started to stand up. From the corner of her eye, she saw a flash of curly hair in the moonlight explode against Valerie. Betty looked behind her and saw Kim and Delia jump on the backs of two girls from the dispersed circle. Tracy put her arm around Betty. Are you okay? She asked. Betty nodded. She tasted blood. Valerie and Katrina tussled, Katrina on top. Kim pulled her off. Come on, she yelled. The girls from the circle had retreated. Valerie lay on the ground. She looked up at Katrina with a sneer. You like those witches, don't you? Katrina spit on her and Valerie yelped in disgust. Come on, Kim yelled again. We need to be gone already. The four of them ran as fast as they could towards a sprawling Gothic schoolhouse, away from the forest. There was no nightmare that night. The school felt lighter the next morning. Everyone was relieved. Betty wished it had been a nightmare. Her jaw ached. Her lip was swollen and there was a light bruise along her chin line. She kept her head down that day. During forestry class, a once-a-week extracurricular that was held outside, Betty saw the scuffs in the field. She was standing where she had been assaulted the night before. She shuddered. You okay? A voice said. It was Kat, the girl she had met at dinner on her first night. She still wore patent leather shoes, and she was friends with Valerie. Kat had wandered up beside her as they slowly made their way towards the forest edge, towards Miss Ronsalem. No, Betty said. She started walking faster, away from Kat, but Kat caught up. I know what happened last night. I'm so sorry. Betty looked at Kat. Why are you friends with her? She asked. I'm not, Kat said. They had reached the edge of the forest. Okay, girls, Miss Ronsalem said. She was exactly what a forest ranger would look like, red-headed and competent. She was almost wearing a Girl Scout uniform. We're doing an audit of the flora this morning. It's finally thawed a bit so we can do this. She rubbed her hands together. No one was enthusiastic. The dozen girls stood at the edge of the woods, staring at it skeptically, bored. Miss Ronsalem started handing out sheets of paper on clipboards and small booklets called Plants, A to Z. In groups of two, find any living thing you see, not including animals, and list it on the sheet of paper along with a written description. You'll find its name in your plants book. Kat looked at Betty. Be my partner? Betty nodded stiffly, too scared to say no, but still suspicious of Kat. Look, I'm not her friend, she said. I don't mess with people who start shit for no reason. She's all drama. She's a psychopath, Betty said. Girls, Miss Ronsalem said, giving them a look. They started crouching by some tree roots. Betty looked at Kat. She concentrated on the ground and Betty joined her. I mean, should we audit this tree? Betty asked. I think she means smaller things, like this leaf. Kat picked up a brown, wet leaf. But that's dead. Shouldn't we be auditing alive things? Kat looked deeper into the woods. Like this. She walked over to a tree root sticking out of the ground like an arch. It was covered in bright red moss. She touched it with her thumb. Okay, Betty said, writing it on their worksheet. It's bright red and it looks like a kind of carpet. Wait, Kat said, staring at it. Does this remind you of something? What do you mean? Betty asked. The moss on a root like this. This was like in the dream, Kat said, eyes wide. You had it too? Betty asked. Kat nodded, squinting at the root. The moss in the dream was green. I remember it because I tripped over it. I guess you did too, Kat said. Yes, Betty nodded. What does it mean? I don't know. She started leafing through the plant book. I can't find this under moss. Let's ask Miss Ronsalem. They saw her crouching with two other students, moving the dirt with a stick. Miss Ronsalem, Kat yelled, we have a question. She looked up from her crouching position, excited for the interest. What is it, girls? She asked as she approached them. What is this moss? Kat asked. We can't find it in the plant book. Ooh, Miss Ronsalem said, crouching again near the red root. She brushed it softly with her fingers. She brought her face very close and smelled it. Her red hair blended with the color. This isn't moss, she said, standing. This is lichen. But you won't find it in that book. What's lichen? Betty asked. Miss Ronsalem was ecstatic with the question. Lichen, she paused dramatically, is a composite creature. It's not actually a plant. She paused again, waiting for Betty and Kat to react. They stared back with furrowed brows. She continued. Lichens are all made up of different combinations of algae and fungi species, and they live almost everywhere on Earth. But this one, she said, crouching down again. Kat and Betty followed suit. This one won't be in your plant book either. This one doesn't look common to the Great Lakes forest region. She brushed it again with her fingers. I believe these are more common much farther north. You mean like Canada? Betty asked.
No, farther north on the European continent. This is what I think it is. She pulled some red lichen from the root and rubbed it between her fingers. Odd, she said, trailing off. What? What is it? Betty asked. This is trilolichen, she said. This usually only grows in northern Europe. Scandinavia, she said. I need to look at my notes. She trailed off again as she grabbed her Polaroid camera and took a picture. She pulled more off and pulled a crumpled bag from her pocket. She sprinkled the lichen into it. She mumbled to herself, balancing the bag of lichen, her camera, and the developing photo as she walked away. Kat and Betty looked at each other. This is a big red sign, Betty said.
Thank you so much for listening to Season 1 of We Are Not Safe Here, The Outcast. Come back next week for Episode 3. Rate, review, and subscribe, and maybe tell a friend or two. We are not safe here.